With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's up, YouTube? I think we're live, Patrick.
What's going on, everybody?
We are doing like a middle of the afternoon podcast today. I've been thinking about hunting and life and about, some people like to make hunting as easy as possible. Some people like to make it as hard as possible. And I thought we'd just chat about that. But before we do, man, what's been going on? You guys killing turkeys yet?
No, I hadn't even been. I've been twice on hunts to try to film and got close one time, had a miss, somebody missed. And then the second day, they just didn't come any close up. We saw turkeys and then been working on the turkey tour trailer camper slash mama's getaway vehicle thing.
The old
camper.
Yeah, the love shack.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
My great uncle used to call something.
Depends. Depends. If you and I are in it, it ain't no love shack.
right. It's just
Only if mama's in it. That's about it.
Oh man, what exactly did you get there? Because I think last time you were on, which has been a while ago, you were talking about Sprinter vans or something. But what
Well, you know, when I went hunting out west last year, I started looking at everybody's got a Sprinter, four-wheel drive Sprinter van out there, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, man, those are really cool. I stopped somebody and asked, hey, can I look inside of yours? I mean, it had everything in it that you need to really live off-grid. So I started, really getting fascinated with them. And when I came home from my trip, my wife and I started watching videos and watched a guy that's got a YouTube channel. It's really good if you guys are into that camping and overlanding and stuff. His name is Chad De La Rosa, and he is an old school YouTuber, and he's from 2011. And his name of his channel is Living the Van Life. And he has an awesome Sprinter van with all this four-wheel drive stuff, transfer case. And I mean, it's pretty awesome. But anyway, so we just kind of watched all these videos, people building them. I was like, Brandon, that'd be really cool if we did that together. If we built a van, it'd be quality time. And then when we're done, we could travel. So we started looking at it. It's expensive. We didn't have the money for it last year. So we rented one last fall and went out west and spent 10 days out west in a Sprinter van, just what they call it boondocking, where you just go into a national forest where no one else is at, set up camp. And so we did that, and we both really enjoyed it, and we just talked about it constantly. So we got back on the subject this year of watching, and we were trying to find something a little bit more on our price range, because the Sprinter vans are just a van now is $100,000. And if you buy a four-wheel drive one, they're hard to come by. They're going to have a little bit of miles on them, and they're, $80,000, So they're a little older because they make the all-wheel drives now. So we just we started looking at other options. I have a big, F-250 four-wheel drive truck, and we started looking at, I watched a video 2 or 3 months ago. I think it's one of the first turkey videos they put back up from the Hunt in Public, and they had a GoFast camper on the back, and I saw Aaron's using it, and it basically just, the back pops up like this, and you have a tent above your bed. And I was like, that'd be perfect. I could take that and I'd have a place to sleep, but I could also use it when I'm working as a bed cover. Well, then that evolved into looking at campers that go in the back of your truck. And we finally settled on the one we bought, which is called a four-wheel camper. They've been around since 1973. They're originally from Colorado. They're in California now. It's a pop-up style camper that is an all aluminum frame, wooden bottom. Trying to think, you put eye bolts in your bed, so it turnbuckles down to your bed, so there's no straps or chains outside of the bed going to the frame. It's all internal. And man, once you take the jack legs off of it, I mean, you can go anywhere off road, so you can get back to those hard to reach places.
You're on your phone, right? Go show us it. You got it out. Yeah. You got it pretty much done, don't you?
Yeah, getting close. Like I said, I told you earlier, I got my diesel heater just a minute ago to go in it. I'm in my garage. I've got it on like this cool little thing right here that I don't know if you can see that or not.
Here, wait a minute. Let me see if I can put you up full screen here. Something I've never tried before.
Yeah. Make me the big guy.
I don't know how to do that. Let me see if I can, go ahead.
All right. Anyway, so you can see down there, this thing has wheels on it. So it's just a stand for this so I can push it in and out of the garage and all that to work on it. But anyway, so this is the camper. You have these, which hold the top down. It pops up into a big camper. I'll show you on the top. I got my solar. I put, 500 watts of solar on the top. Put these LED lights on the side. I replaced the porch light here.
Yeah.
I put lights underneath the sides here, just kind of like accent lights. And then this is what it looks like when it's not all popped up. Cabinet over there, all my solar's in that cabinet. Let me get in here. I got a light in here too.
Can you stand up in that thing when it's popped up?
Oh yeah, it's 6'4" when you pop the top of it up. I can't do it in my garage right now, but
me and you,
it's been raining. I've got to fix one thing, but it's so here's the solar. Got all my solar wired in.
Yeah.
Cleaned it up yesterday. Sink will go here. Fridge is going to go here. Diesel heater will go over there. And then I just got to paint a little bit and find a comfortable mattress for the top. And we're going to get the couch reupholstered. I think that's it, pretty much. I put a vent fan in because it just had a vent.
Very cool.
Man, you're going to like it when you come down here turkey hunt. You're going to be like, oh, man, maybe we need to get one of these.
Well, could you fit a family of four in that sucker, though?
You can fit your two kids and you and your wife in it easy.
Okay.
Because this part right here, this bed right here,
yeah,
that top rolls over. And so you get basically a full size bed down here.
Okay.
So like if you and I were on a hunting trip or something and we took this out, you could sleep on the lower and I could sleep on the top. And I mean, the bed, another thing too, is you might not can see, but right there, there's that rail. That's the bed that pulls forward. Here, I'll show you. So you see this rail right here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the bed, which is right here, this slides. See it? I don't know if you can see it moving up. That slides all the way out here. So it's a twin right now. It's a twin. It slides out to a king.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So the bed's pretty big. If you slide it out and you want it big.
You know, and John can sleep up there together then.
Oh, yeah. We can cuddle. We can cuddle. Yeah. Yeah. You can sleep. I mean, you could literally sleep three people in it, you know, if you weren't, you know.
Right.
but I mean, it's pretty cool. I'm gonna have storage in it. Did all my light stuff here. All these work, and I got this is Bluetooth, so I can tell you what the battery's doing, whether it's charging, how many amps it's pushing, and all that. And I know nothing about any of this stuff before I took on this project, and I finished in about 2 weeks. So
that's awesome.
Yep.
What do you think you got into that thing, if you don't mind me asking? Like, how much was the...
So, I bought the camper from an old man for $6,000. He asked me if I wanted the little roller thing, which I really wasn't going to do, but I'm really glad I did it now. I paid $500 for that, so $6,500 for the camper. And then I probably have $4,000 total in it, just to build it the way that I've got it. The wood was really the expensive part. I put wood floors in it too. The wiring and the solar, well, I thought was going to be expensive, but the solar, you could probably do solar in this thing. If you didn't want an inverter, you could do solar for probably about $1,200 to $1,400, depending on what size battery you get. You might could do it cheaper. You know, the refrigerator is like $600. It's 12 volt. Diesel heater is like 120. It was cheap. It wasn't too much. So, I mean, you could get into one. And the thing is, the resale on these things is crazy. So, like, a brand new one with nothing in it to what I've got is $18,000 with nothing. It just has a rollover couch. It's not, you know, it does have some little bit of cabinetry in it. It might have a propane furnace in it, but yeah, for that price. But you, if you find one, and used ones are 15 and up usually. Really? So, I mean, I could probably make money selling that the way it is once I get it done, depending on how we're going to do butcher block countertops and
make it nice.
All that stuff. Yeah. See here, I'll show you one more thing. So I did this bathroom in my house and did the butcher block.
Yeah.
Put the sink in, and then that's the same color that we're using in the camper. So going to be pretty slick, dude.
Yeah. That will be sweet.
Yeah, I'm ready.
My only problem with doing something like that would be like you give up your truck bed.
Well, you can take it out because it's got those jacks.
No, I know. But on a trip, like if you're going
hunting. I took care of that too, dude. I built me a box that is the length and width of my truck bed that's going to go underneath it. So I'll have drawers to pull out that's going to have all my camp stove, gear. It's going to be lockable. So that I can lock my gun or whatever inside of it. So, you know, if you got a crew cab and you do that, because storage is kind of a big deal, but there's going to be some storage with that little box I built underneath it.
Yeah. And I guess you're keeping a lot of the stuff you would have stored in your truck, in the camper, because of your, you know, kitchen stuff and all that. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll have room for pots, pans, towels, you know, dish soap, spices, stuff like that. And then some of that stuff I can keep underneath the camper in that drawer system I built too. So, and that was a headache. That was probably the biggest headache, was trying to figure out how to do drawers and cabinets. Like, it took me a couple of tries. I was about to bang my head against the wall.
I guarantee it. That's funny. Before we get too much farther, I got to tell everybody about, have you tried any Osseo gear yet?
Well, I've lost 30 pounds, so I got to buy new clothes, and they're going to be Osseo this year.
There you go. Well, right now, did you see they're running a sale right now on their turkey setup, where it's all the early season hat, hoodie, and pants for 30% off.
Yep, I saw that.
If you guys want some new turkey stuff, Turkey 30 will save you 30% on that setup.
Yeah, their stuff's really good too. I talked to some boys that are, if any of your guys are on Mobile Hunters United, it's a Facebook group, and talked to one of the moderators. I actually hunted together last year in Illinois. They were just him and Kalen were up there. Kalen Pope and Zach Robb, super, super nice guys. And their dad, he was really nice too. But they're like you. I think they get sponsored, and he builds Joe's arrows, Kalen does. And so we got to talk about Joe, and they're just talking about how such a great guy he was. And that's why I kind of want to support him, because just watching you and some of the stories you've told me about him, I like supporting people that are.
Yeah.
Passionate, but also like not just in it for the money, you know.
Right. And then anytime you guys want some Osseo stuff, BTE 15 saves for 15% off and everything else. But I just got Maddie a whole bunch of stuff. So
cool.
They're coming out with women's sizes, or not women's sizes. They're coming out with smalls.
Yeah, kids.
Yeah,
kids/women.
Yeah. So they don't really want to make women's clothing, because you got to order, like, whenever you make a garment, you have to order 10,000 units of it.
Oh yeah.
So he's like, I can't have, you know, 500 women order a, you know, shirt, and then I have 9,500 garments laying in my warehouse that nobody's going to buy. So.
Right. Well, too, at the scale he's at now too, when he scales up like Sitka or somebody like hopefully, you know, all goes good for him, which I think it will, because he's got a good product. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That Sherpa stuff. For late season or for deer season is, man, it's my favorite set I've ever worn, and I've worn everything. So
it's funny. We were turkey last time. My turkey hunt was Sunday a week ago, and I was at a friend of ours house down in Mississippi, and his daughter was out there, and they have an owl, and the owl flew up in a tree. Man, I had to look hard for that owl, and I started thinking about Joe, and we were start talking about Osseo gear. And John bought some Osseo gear, and he loves it. He bought some pants and some other stuff, and he absolutely loves it. But we were talking about how good that stuff looks, and how that owl just, I mean, you couldn't see the owl. If it wasn't for his eyes, you'd never know he was up there.
Yeah, crazy, man. Hey, I got something to bounce off of you. It's not hunting related, but kind of related to things being hard. But, okay, someone posted this thing. It's going around on social media that I don't know what news outlet posted it, but they're saying that Now, the average American to be comfortable with a family of four has to make $235,000 a year.
I believe it.
No, dude.
I think that was New York.
No, it said New York.
I saw 130 or, well, you ain't comfortable at 130 with four kids. I mean, that's tough. Well, it just depends, man. If you don't have any bills.
Even if you have, dude, $235,000 a year is almost 20 grand a month. If you have bills that are going over 20 grand a month.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah. I don't know. That's
insane.
Wow. I don't know about you, man, but have you noticed like just little incremental differences in like what you're making now versus say 2020 and like how much less money you had? Like, I'm looking at
my own company and quit my full time job. I definitely tell a difference.
Yeah. But you're happy and that's more important.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I know. I'm just kidding around.
That's what I told Brandy the other night. We were talking. I was like, you know, we buy all this crap and the more money you make, the more crap you buy and you stay the same. And you think like, man, I'm making more money, but I don't have all this money. And it's just,
yeah,
it's really, you know, like a bottomless pit.
It is. Yeah. And like, I don't know, I got in some argument that wasn't really worth my time, but it was a good conversation online. A guy was like, you know, I can't remember who it was, but he was just like, he's the one that posted it. And I'm like, man, I feel like this is just something the media put out to get people all riled up. And like, I don't think this is right. Like $235,000. That's what like a CEO of a company makes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sounds a little extreme.
If you have to have that much money to be comfortable, it's like, you got your part. Like you need to start thinking about other things other than your money and materialistic things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just being able to do everything you want to do and not, and work enough to do it. It's like, how much do you want to work? Do you want to work so much that you never have time to enjoy life? Because it's like this, you know, life is so short compared to what we're going to have after we leave here.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you want to sit here and work your life away? What is it like working all day, overtime hours or bullshit pay? Or do you want to go
actually
enjoy life and find you some niche where you can make enough to live, you know, reasonably and not have to worry about stuff, you know?
Yeah.
To me, that's happiness.
And I guess, I mean, if you live in the middle of New York City in an apartment and your rent's, you know, $4,000 a month, I get that maybe. But like the average, I just can't imagine the average American needing that much. And what's the definition of being comfortable? I don't know. You know, that can be what's comfortable for me is different than what's comfortable for Jones's next door, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, they don't include the flyover states and stuff like that or the South.
Yeah,
I think that's what's going on in New York and California, and that'll tell us what's the rest of the country because they're so.
Yeah, that's true. That's just like everything else. It's the minority that they're thinking of.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
not thinking everybody.
But yeah, like whenever I was talking to the guy, I broke it down. I'm like, dude, that is $20,000 a month.
That's a lot of money.
I'm like, if you can't figure it out with that much money, you ain't figuring it out, man.
No, that's a lot of money.
You know,
man, I'd love to have that kind of money every month.
Yeah, well, yeah, dude. I could retire. If I made that much money and just kept on the pace, like you could retire like
in
10 years.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, if you don't spend it, you could be a millionaire in no time, and then just invest it and live off of that for a while and go hunt.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to hear what people thought about that because leave it in the comments. Cause it got me all riled up last night. I just get,
obviously,
people are so disconnected with like what makes you happy as a human being. Like people need to get closer to God. They need to figure out, you know, the family is more important than spending $20,000 a month on who knows what, like, gosh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. I mean, like, you know, I lost my dad back in December and I was watching him in his old age, you know, wither away. I just had to question myself. I was like, you know, we're here, we enjoy it, and then we could be there, which is to me worse than death, or we could just be dead one day.
Yeah.
And what have you done? Like, it probably won't matter once you die anyway, but I mean, man, you know, we're only as good as the love we have with the people we have and the experiences we have and memories. And like memories are what makes us who we are and what makes us happy, right? So we should create happy memories instead of sitting here worrying like, oh, I got to work enough so I can pay my truck note, but I had to buy this $100,000 truck, or I have to live in a $500,000 million house, or, you know, I've got to make this much money and put back for when I retire. Like, all that's good, but you might not be here because tomorrow's not promised, you know?
Our society, exactly. But our society is so focused on the individual now. It's like, and that's like helping others and doing like, that's why there's so much anxiety. There's so much depression. It's like, all you think about is how things are going, what's going to happen to you, you know? And it's like, and you know, I used to struggle with anxiety. And whenever I figured out like, man, all the reason I'm getting anxious is because all I'm thinking about is what others think of me or like what's going to happen to me. It's like, quit focusing on yourself and think about like, you know, how can I help, you know, your neighbor or someone at your church or your kids. And like, once your focus is off of yourself, it seems to those worries and stuff go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Just living, you know, what the Bible verse, you know, to what is it? Don't worry about tomorrow, cause today's got enough problems of its own.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, you should, you know, be smart, but just enjoy the fact that you're alive today. That's what I say.
Yeah, but it's tough, and it's like I know all this, right? Because I struggle with this, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not like I'm telling you I'm perfect by any means, but man, that's just that. Whenever that came on social media and got passed around, I'm like, you guys think this is like, you think this is our problem that we got to make $235,000 now to live comfortably? It's like, no, man, that ain't the problem.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, if anything, that was a mistake, a miscalculation politically, if that's what it was done for, because, man, I don't think most people in America are having, you know, are anywhere near comfortable, if that's what comfort is.
No,
right?
No kidding.
You know, no, things have gotten tough, you know, food and everything else.
I don't know. It got me thinking last night a whole bunch. I was actually laying in bed with Huck, and he puts his covers over his head when he's sleeping or when he's trying to sleep. So I was just laying there thumbing through Facebook, and that came up, and I was like, what the heck? Then, so I had like 10, 15 minutes to lay there and dwindle on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy times we're living in, man. Like, people are so gullible anymore. And it's like, you know how many people I like get messages from or just people in my life that like, did you see this on Facebook? And I'm like, that ain't what's happening right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. This, you know, my favorite Bible verse is 1 John 2:15-18. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the end of the verse is, you know, what does it say? The world passes away, but those who do the will of God will live forever.
Yeah.
Right. So like the world, like, if you're living for this world and worrying about these problems in the world, you're already not got your head right. Like, you shouldn't worry, you know, like politically, I used to worry. God, I used to get on Facebook, you know, when Trump was in office and try to defend him and, you know, get political with people who didn't see things my way, man. When I started really getting into my Bible and stuff, I don't care that none of that matters. It's already determined.
And this will make people mad. It'll make people mad. And it's going to make the people that are thinking, just are, I don't know, gullible is the right word, but like, man, Trump going in office is not going to solve your freaking problems, man. He's not your savior.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Nothing. Nope. Like, he's a politician. I mean, just as much as we don't want to think he is, it's like, he is, man. Remember when COVID came around, man, we're probably gonna get kicked off YouTube for this. Like, yeah. Dude, he was right there like, I'm getting this vaccine out as fast as, I mean, he did the same stuff. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
And like, I think he's our best option at the moment for president, but it's like, he's not the answer that you're looking for. If you're trying to like find
your way in life,
like, it's not going to happen. And man, whether you like the guy or not, I don't care, but it's like, if that's your God, like, man, what's wrong with you? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta, if you just put your focus on Christ and just what's going to be after this, man, you won't worry about this crap. You'll live a lot better and you'll enjoy today a lot more than you you would if you weren't focused on it. That's where a lot of people are missing the boat. And luckily, you and I, and the viewers, we love the outdoors and we love hunting. So we already know what it's like to be spiritually close to our Creator by watching what He does every morning when the sun comes up. So, you know, amen for that.
Yeah, for sure. Man, you're like a, you know, I've always been a Christian and always, you know, went to church and, you know, I went to a Christian university and school, whatever else. But like, whenever I met you, I really like you, because I think right before I met you in Illinois, you were just getting into like Christianity real heavily. Like you were reading the Bible a lot and stuff.
Right.
And you're like one of the reasons, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I started like actually studying the Bible instead of just going to church and going through the motions and halfway paying attention. But so.
Anyway. Yeah, man. Good. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to iron sharpens iron. That's what my buddy said when I got on to him. I said, 6 minutes a day, read your Bible 6 minutes a day. And he said, iron sharpens iron. I'm reading it. So I was like, all right, cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It'll change your life. It'll change your, for in a good way. Like
it changed your perspective on like what all this means, especially like hunters. You know, if we take it back to hunting, you know, we all get caught up in, you know, there's so many people that want to be the best hunter and be looked at. And I've been guilty of it too. They want some kind of adoration from other people to say, oh man, you know, he's a killer. He kills deer. And then they get mad over somebody killing a something or hunting a spot that they hunted instead of just enjoying the fact that they're out there and helping other people with something that we love. I think we need to get back to that as hunters, you know. And if you do try to live your life that way, which I'm no perfect person or example, I'm better than some and not as good as others. But, you know, if you do try to, it will change your perspective when you do come to things, you know, where somebody may be a jerk and how you treat them instead of you just flying off the handle, you know. And, you know, like you're talking about hunting being hard, and a lot of that's finding access to land that you can have yourself or not having to deal with a bunch of, I won't say idiots, but people that are not as blessed or as good as some people are at hunting or don't have the time or whatever. When you do deal with those people and they get mad because it might be their only day, you might treat them a little differently if you got your perspective on right rather than giving it right back to them, you know. And you can make a friend that way too.
Right. And I mean, we as hunters, like you said, we do have ego problems, most of us, you know, somewhere down the line, because it is a weird thing to do. Just, you know, especially. I don't know if you want to call us trophy hunters or whatever the case may be. Like, we're doing it for selfish reasons usually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's easy for, like you said, to get aggravated and let things ruin your day, you know?
Man, I saw a kid posted, man, he's probably maybe 16, maybe 15. He was in Mississippi Turkey Hunters. And he put a post up and had a picture of his bird. He said, biggest bird I've ever killed, 11-inch beard, 1¼-inch spurs. They weren't 1¼ inches. They were like an inch, right? So we're talking, you know, what, 1/4 inch?
Yeah, say, right.
1/4 inch, right? Dude, every comment was somebody blasting his turkey, saying how you need to learn to measure. Those aren't. Stop lying. Blah, blah, blah. So I saw that, and I was like, you know, at first I was like, man, those probably aren't 1/4 inch. I started coming. I was like, you know what? That's a jerk thing to say. This kid's proud of his turkey. So instead of doing that, I took a screenshot of it because he took his post down. Because he got so, I guess, embarrassed from those people ragging on him. And it wasn't up for maybe 10 minutes. So I went on there and I put a post on that talked about how everybody was ragging this kid. It was on Good Friday, too. I was like, here y'all are on Good Friday talking crap about a kid's turkey kill that he's obviously proud of over the fact that he thinks his spurs are 1/4 inch longer than they might be in your opinion. Yeah. I was like, you know, y'all are grown ass men. Act right. And dude, like I think it had like 100+ likes the other day when I last was still getting likes. And like, man, it made me feel so good. Even his dad contacted me and said, hey, I just want to let you know, I really appreciate you sticking up for my son and all that. And I mean, it made me feel good. And I mean, I wasn't looking for anything from it. I just thought, you know, hey, it's the, you know, and I'm guilty. I troll people sometimes. I get in there, I'm like, all right, this idiot. And then usually I'm like, and I type it all out. And then I go, man, that's, no, that ain't the right thing to do, man. And then I just say, sometimes you just say nothing, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it weird how much we let that stuff like get to us though? Like it is. It's so stupid.
Nobody's going to kick our butt.
Like you said, I'm as guilty of it too. Like I get, I mean, you know, like it frustrates me to no end when people take trophy pictures like, you know,
like this. Yes. You know, here.
Yeah.
I'm holding his rack way out here.
Yeah. And I spent time on this podcast talking about that. It's like, oh, whatever, man. It don't freaking matter. You know,
I think we've gotten lost, and because it's probably just the Facebook and TikTok and whatever, Instagram, everybody posting their pictures, and we think we got to live up to something. I mean,
yeah,
did you shoot your trophy? Be proud of it. You know, yeah. Just make sure if you're that way, just make sure they're big enough when you hold them right here up to your face. If they're still big, you got a big deer.
My poor buddy Dave, he's 6'8". It's hard for him to make a deer look big.
Oh yeah,
like, I was
yeah.
trying to take pictures of his deer killed in Kansas. I'm like, daggone, Dave, you're too big.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like Randall, man, I can just see him. He's like holding a deer. Hold on a second, I found a camera like this. No matter what he does, it's like
Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the hard part about hunting is just our egos about it. You know, like a lot of us that are super into this like to make it a little harder for ourselves because we love to hunt. You know, maybe I shoot a trad bow sometimes, and you hunt with a compound during gun season, right?
Mm-hmm.
We like for hunting to be hard, but man, I guess some people it's like they just want to go out for a weekend and hang out with their buddies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's hunt's different, and it's your hunt. And I mean, there's ways that some guys hunt that I don't really like. But as long as, you know, you're doing it within the law and your etiquette's right, more power to you, you know, it doesn't matter what I like. I can hate on it or hate it all I want to, you know, in my mind, bug me all I want to, but I mean, I'm just making myself miserable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think there's some moral things that, people have to go get into. And I guess the scary part for me, or the part that I worry about with the hunting, and there's no way of really knowing if this is going on or not, but like, you know, I hope politics don't creep into it too much. That's the part where I think, you know, you got the crossbow, crowd, you know, that all stuff is like, that's just stuff for us to complain about really. But like, you hear about like Colorado's governor's husband's an anti-hunter, and they're starting to change regulations in Colorado.
Yeah, they've done a lot in Colorado in the last 2 years. I don't know if you pay attention to it much.
Yeah.
Do you see where they're basically, you cannot, I don't think you can, no longer can you just go out there and hunt. Like, there's no over-the-counter units anymore. They've all gone to draw.
Yeah. I just got all my preference points in Colorado. Yesterday was the deadline. I bought some yesterday, but I don't know. That's the part where we probably should. We focus so much on what other hunters are doing. Sometimes
each other.
Yeah, we probably should try to like put a little more focus on some of the politics that are kind of being entrenched into hunting.
I said that in a TikTok. You know, these people trash talking. Like, I don't know what it is. It's people that are in state hate out of state hunters. I get it. You and I like to travel and hunt other states because I love going to new places, right? And some states offer better opportunities at the caliber deer that I like to hunt than my home state does. And these guys can't stand it. And a lot of them probably aren't even hunting public land. And if they do hunt public land, they're probably not hunting it much. But, man, they get on there and trash out-of-state hunters. And it's like I said on a TikTok, like, the government is our enemy when it comes to hunting regulations and our hunting rights. We aren't. So we need to stick together as hunters and stop hating on each other and help each other out, you know, whenever we get a chance, and keep our eye on the really, you know, the people that want to take our rights.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And also there's a part of me that thinks like there's so much in the world going on. I wonder how much politicians even like think about hunting, unless your passion is like anti-hunting, you know?
Yeah. I don't think they think about it that much. I think it's more about just the guns, you know? Yeah.
Probably so. And that's a conversation.
They're trying to find more CWD in their area so they can get government funding for
right.
CWD management, like Tennessee.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. What's the line for you on hunting? Like, how easy does hunting have to get for you before you would stop doing it? Like, if you broke your shoulders or something, would you use a crossbow? Or would that
Oh, yeah. I'm I wouldn't miss a season just because of that. I mean, I'm diehard when it comes to my bow, but you know, I mean, I'm 44 and I'll be 45 this year. I mean, like, I'm still in good shape, but you know, the older I get, I start to ask myself, you know, I won't be able to bow hunt forever. So that's kind of my thing. Like, I want to bow hunt until I can't, and then I'll probably crossbow hunt, and then I'll probably just rifle hunt when I get to the point and probably just shoot the first 4-point that comes out. Go, I got me a buck. You know?
Yeah.
When I'm like 60, hopefully 70 or something like that. I hope to be like John Eberhardt when I'm old and being able to do the, what I love to do. But I don't know, man. I don't, you know, I just, I don't really, I wouldn't really care to kill a deer over bait. I wouldn't really care to kill deer, you know, in a high fence. I'm not going to say I wouldn't go just for fun to see those giant deer, but I just don't think the adrenaline, you know, well, I've told you stories when I had my place inside the city limits where I killed a lot of my big deer at, it got to where it wasn't fun anymore because it just, you're not supposed to kill deer like that easy every year. That's why, you know, I mean, I stopped hunting that way 3 years ago. I did kill one on my club, which you've been there. It's high pressure that same year. But, I mean, it's been 2 years since I've shot – well, 3 years since I've shot a buck. So, 2020 was the last time I shot a buck. And, you know, but, I mean, my standards are – it's not like I couldn't have shot something really respectable. I'm just hard-headed, man. I need to just, you know, hard-headed. Keep thinking the bigger one's right behind, you know.
Yeah. If I would ever become disabled, there's no way I'd be able to not go hunting. Like, I'd have to get a crossbow or something to go.
Yeah.
I just love it. Love being out there too much, you know. Love hunting.
Yeah.
Deer meat and all that. So.
Yeah. Get you one of those four-wheel drive, like one of those wheelchairs with tank tracks on it.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, yeah, dude.
I see those guys. I'm like, man, they kind of have an unfair advantage.
Come on, hate on people.
Walk. All they got to do is push this button and drag their deer behind them.
Huh? That's the comment section underneath one of their videos.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Like, is it an unfair advantage to disabled hunters with that have wheelchairs with tank tracks on them? Are they at an advantage? I mean, more power to them, man. I love those guys. I think it's awesome they get to go and people take them. So I'm just kind of cutting a joke. You know, hopefully that's
political
correctness and hit that crowd.
I know you're joking. Don't.
Yeah.
Nobody on YouTube that gets the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. Dude, I met at some of these shows, I've met a couple of people that are, you know, disabled hunters. And dude, I think they're as passionate as anybody. I think it's cool that they do all they can to keep going. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they have a lot of good people out there. Like, you're talking about giving to people and helping your neighbor, man. There's a lot of people who go help those vets and people that are disabled just to, you know, just, I mean, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And kids, anyway. Like, we got to get kids in the woods, like, big time. Cause there's I keep seeing this stuff that, you know, hunters, and I don't know if you think so too, but that the hunter numbers are down, like license sales and stuff like that are down. But I don't think so. I mean, I think there's more people hunting now than ever. It seems like, especially like when you hunt public, you know?
Yeah. It kind of feels like it. I don't know. I think maybe gun hunters' numbers are down a little bit. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that quite yet. I kind of chew on it a little bit, but
right,
because some of those numbers you see don't really technically seem to line up with what you see in the woods. But
yeah, no, I mean, I know turkey hunting. There's a lot more people turkey hunting, and I guess the difference between turkeys and deer. One, deer way more intelligent than turkeys, and they react to pressure very different than turkeys do. Turkeys react to pressure too, but deer react to it differently. And that makes them more, they have a better survival rate, I think, under pressure than turkeys do. Especially like the deer we're trying to shoot. But the thing with turkeys, I mean, a 2-year-old gobbler to anyone is like, heck yeah, I'll shoot it.
Right.
So like, and they're very fragile. They're a fragile species. Like, they can't take a whole lot. Like deer, you see deer, man, they're living behind a target in the middle of town in 5 acres and right. surviving. You're fine and breeding and having population increases. But
like a cold winter day will destroy a turkey population, you know.
No, it's not really the cold. If it rains and it gets cold right after they hatch the clutch, that'll hurt them a lot. Or luckily, down here in the South, and I think across the country, we've had great hatches the last 2 years. I mean, I'm seeing more Jakes the last 2 years than ever. But, you know, when it comes to that, I remember when I used to hunt the National Forest down in Mississippi, you never see people turkey hunting. I've been hunting down there since 96. And now, like, I hear horror stories. I haven't hunted it yet this year, but people driving in and having four people come up behind them when they're in their spot. And it's like, I don't know. I don't see people not hunting.
Zeke has a good point. He says, them numbers are because years ago, practically everyone in the family got a tag and party hunted. Now kids don't get tags unless they really enjoy that. There may be a little bit to that.
Yeah.
Because my family did that way back in the day, you know.
I think that's more common, it seems like, up north, because I think y'all get less tags than we do. Down here, I mean, we kill three deer a day, those.
Yeah,
you know?
And you're just
so here we get so many.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to buy actually tags.
Yeah, we just get a license, and it's simple. If you got a license, you can kill this many deer, and that's kind of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think up north, that's more common. Like,
I wish my grandpa was around now to, like, talk to him about this stuff, because, like, hunting was literally about food for him. Like, he wasn't a bow hunter at all. And he just, because he's like, why would you do that? Like, I'm trying to shoot deer, like, to kill them.
Yeah.
You know, that was his attitude. It's like, there's very few people, that seem to have that attitude anymore. Maybe just our circle, but.
Can you imagine Fred Bear would get back in the day when he had his traditional bow to go bow hunting up? Where's he from? Michigan, right? Or is he from Michigan?
Yeah,
Michigan. And these guys are like, what's he doing? You know, we have everybody rifle hunted for food, and he's out there doing it for the passion of the hunt, you know, before his time.
Right.
That's crazy.
And my grandpa was super passionate about hunting, but he hunted everything. Like, he wasn't really a deer hunter per se. He just was whatever was in season he was hunting. But he also used whatever most lethal weapon was for the most part.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which was just a shotgun back in Indiana. It's all you could use. But
yeah, we're baby now the way that we hunt. We got everything in our advantage compared to what those guys had, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Dude, my grandpa, like, we're just talking about how like our societies, our spending habits are so much different than that generation. You know, my grandpa was 95 now or whatever, but like, dude, he had two guns. That's all he had. He had a 22 rifle that didn't work. It didn't shoot. And then he had a 20 gauge Remington 1100, and that's all he had. That's all he needed.
Yeah. And it's crazy. People were happier back then too.
Oh yeah. He had one pair of bibs, like camouflage insulated bibs. And then a jacket. That's it.
Yeah. And here we are talking about Osseo gear. Well, you want Osseo? Or are you a Sitka guy? Or are you a First Light? I mean, what are you wearing?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Those guys would laugh us out of the parking lot.
Yeah. For a guy like my grandma talks about, like, to my wife, she'll be like, Maddie, if you think Josh hunts a lot, you should have been married to her grandpa or his grandpa. Like, you know, he coon hunted, he rabbit hunted, he squirrel hunted, he deer hunted. Like, he was going all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And then I get to thinking about the gear, because I was around, you know, the gear he had was like, he didn't have nothing, man.
No. Freezing their butts off. They had to walk with carry a gun because they'd freeze to death if they sat in the
That's true. That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I remember when I was little, we had we got into the sprays, you know, like the hunter specialty, like sent away spray.
Yeah.
And he drove to a hunting spot with me and my dad, and he got out, and me and dad were spraying down, and he like looked at it, and he was like kind of interested in it. Of course, he didn't watch TV, especially hunting TV. He's like, just spray a little bit on me. And like, I stood like two squirts on his jacket. He's like, oh, that's enough. And then I'm like, and he like walked off. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was funny.
Killing more deer than we do.
Yeah. And always like, he always just drove a two-wheel drive, just cheap pickup too. Never had anything, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's crazy, man.
Yeah. I miss those old days, man. I miss getting up in the mornings and having a camp to go to with my dad, and, you know, wait every fall waiting to see the guys there and you know, hunting. And I mean, hearing the gunshots opening day, and I couldn't wait to get back to camp, see what everybody else killed. I didn't even hunt hardly. I was just like a, you know, I gotta get back. I want to see what they got, you know, because I couldn't wait. 8 o'clock, man, I was off the stand and driving back to camp to see what everybody killed. I miss those days. You know, not necessarily getting down at 8 o'clock, but, you know, just having a group of guys that you look forward to seeing every year. You know, it's just not the same.
Yeah, we almost take it so serious now that sorry, Rose's in her kennel. She don't want to be. We almost take it so serious now that we lose that aspect of it, like the fun part of it, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I was the same with you. My uncle is a taxidermist, and I remember being a little boy, like, could not wait to get back to his house to, like, because people take bucks to his taxidermy shop, you know, at midday after they killed him. And I just, like, that was the highlight. I almost look forward to that more than the hunt itself, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's, I love it.
And now I just get pissed because I go there and someone shot a deer I had on camera or something. It's like,
yeah,
what the heck's wrong with me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember going to those taxidermy shops and seeing some of those deer. And, you know, God, I can't imagine what those taxidermists see now, just these giants that people bring in. Because our deer are so much better now than they used to be 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's phenomenal. It's, people still gripe, you know. I mean, I can tell you a lot of people, I can tell you, I never thought I'd have a chance at shooting a deer over 100. I mean, 110 inch deer when I first started hunting. I mean, I never thought. I was like, man, you'd see the deer in North American whitetail and stuff like that on these videos. I thought, man, I've got to go spend money and go to some place to kill those deer.
Yeah.
You know, at least down south, you know, because we didn't have the big deer always like we do now. And just to see how far we've come and how many big deer come out of Tennessee now is ridiculous.
Yeah. Andy May posted something real interesting on his Instagram the other day. I got to find it here. But it was a picture of Mark and Terry Jury. I'm never going to find this. Mm-hmm. But it was like the cover of their magazine or of one of their DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, they had like a 140 inch buck on the cover, you know, and the label was like, I don't remember whatever, like some giant whitetail. And he was like making a point, like, this was a giant, like the 140 inch deer that you get bashed for on Facebook now was a giant not that long ago. Let me close this door so she'll stop whining.
Oh, it's on.
Sometimes if I'm out of sight, out of mind, she calms down a little bit, but
yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting, like where we came from, and where we're going. Not sure where we're going yet, but
yeah, you know, your thing was why is hunting hard? I mean, I think it's hard to some extent because I think we make it harder on ourselves.
Yeah,
and then land access is probably the hardest thing. But what these leases cost now is outrageous. I saw some guy wanting $40 an acre for a lease in Kentucky, or $50 or something. I was thinking, dude, that's insane. Like, you know, for it seems insane to me. I just can't see myself paying that, you know, for a lease.
40 or 400.
I want to say, I don't know, man. It was high. I said 40. I just kind of pulled that out of my butt. I mean, it was high. It seemed very high to me. I think it wasn't a very big piece of land either. It was like, I don't know. It seemed really high. Yeah. Maybe not. You know, I don't know. I remember my dad was right. Like,
I'll be honest with you, I've never looked into leasing, so I don't really know what I mean, I know it's high, but
I've been in clubs. I've leased some turkey spots, but you know, and they're always a little high just because of demand for turkey spots. And just that it's small or whatever. But I don't know what leases cost. I don't know what a good deer lease costs in another, you know, Midwest state. But man, I remember my dad and I mean, I think the club we were in, he paid $300 a year to be in it back in 1980 and 90s.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can't get in a club now for less than $1,500, $2,000, it seems like. $800 maybe is cheap.
And that kind of still seems like a good deal compared to like Midwest leases.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's these Tennessee leases though, but I just keep seeing them creep up. So, you know, That's kind of hard. Makes it hard for people.
Yeah. 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 I think there's just so many like different factors now than there was back in the 90s or the 80s that, just the amount of information that's out there now, it makes it so much easier for people to, you know, get into hunting. I had someone, I had someone message, or I think it was a comment on here actually, that they were 82 and they just started hunting, and they were asking me if I feel like that's too late.
It's never too late.
No.
Dude, if I was 82 and I could hunt, I'd be out there doing it as much as I could do it.
Yeah. He said he can still climb ladders and stuff, or like those sticks. And
yeah. Wow. So
he's like, I'm trying. I'm like, well,
yeah. That's
awesome, man.
I just think, I think if you can get out there and hunt, I would all day long. It's never too late. I mean, we need more hunters. It's just we need more mentors for hunters too. So you can teach them the right way, because what happens is a guy goes out there, it's like on Facebook or whatever, when they go and they make a comment, cause they're really ignorant. They don't know, you know, and they get bashed by all these guys that know, you know, and it's, instead of being helpful, people just treat them like crap, and it kind of gives everybody a bad attitude. I hate that. I don't know why it's like that. I mean, I've been guilty of it before. Somebody says something that's just ignorant, you know. I try to do a little research on them, you know, before I go and slam them. But now I try not to do that anymore, because they literally could be just – I mean, I didn't know anything when I first stepped into the woods, but I had a dad that taught me, and you did too. Right. We're lucky. Imagine trying it at 30 years old, saying, man, I think I want to hunt. I got nobody that hunts. I think I'm going to try. Yeah. And then you just, you know, you're scared. Probably most of these guys are scared to walk real far in the woods. They're not comfortable being in the dark. They're doing stuff that you and I as seasoned hunters know is not going to get them a deer, but they're just trying to get out there and learn. You know, hopefully they can meet somebody that can kind of teach them the ropes, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I guess I got lucky in the fact that the whole hunting for food thing, like that's ingrained in me. Like, so I still get that out of it, if nothing else, you know.
I said I was gonna kill a bunch of does last year, and I couldn't do it. I don't know why.
I did the same thing.
I was trying to buck hunt and trying to kill that buck I was after, and I just wouldn't shoot a doe. I've got to do some early season bow shooting or doe shooting.
Heck yeah, man.
I need to shoot some does because I need to get some meat for my carnivore diet, dude.
There you go. Yeah. How much you got? Lost 30 pounds now on it?
30 pounds, man, in 10 weeks. Feel great. So, after we get off here, I'm cooking me a ribeye.
Yep.
I'm going to get you on it, man, when you're down here, and we'll get some ribeyes.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it. It's hard with a family to get on a specific diet sometimes like that. Like, it's good. We always eat healthy, but like,
yeah,
to get on a like all meat diet, my wife's not going to go for that. So I'd have to do it separately kind of thing.
Yeah. Just, I mean, you eat meat every meal, right? Just eat a little more meat with fat in it and you know, let them eat their vegetables if they want to eat vegetables.
Yeah.
Dude, do y'all do a garden at your house, or do y'all? Okay. Those at the store so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man. I got to go let Rosie out. So
let's
get off here.
All right. Have fun.
Everybody, thanks for hopping on. Before you go, don't forget Exodus right now has a deal going on with their new Lift 4K camera, and BTE 4K saves you 50% on that. And then as always, guys, this show couldn't be possible without these sponsors. So Lou at Stealth Outdoors, he's the first guy ever to want to support the show that we all get on here and chit chat about. So go over to stealthoutdoors.com and get you some stealth strips. I think they got a cool new jacket out too. They made like a flannel jacket. All right,
yeah, they make a good product.
And also, Southern Rose Lawn Care.
Native South. My YouTube channel that I, here we go. Native. No E.
There you go. Shameless plug.
I linked the
Native South in the description.
Yeah.
If you need your yard mode and you're in the Memphis, Tennessee general area.
Ooh, not Memphis. Memphis.
Around
Memphis. Yeah, we'll do it there.
Suburban Memphis.
And we'll put some kills up for turkey season. Or too long.
Yeah. Heck, in a couple weeks, I'll be down there hunting with you. So,
yeah, we'll have that.
Yep. Can't wait. All right.
All right, buddy. Good luck, Rosie. Yeah, we'll see you.
We got to get John on the show.
Yeah, we will. We'll do it when you're in town.
Yeah. Subscribe for me, everybody. See ya.
See ya. Bye.